Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Mem Ches. A little bit to finish up on the previous parak. Okay, more than a little bit. We'll finish up the previous parak. We're going to hopefully start the 23rd parak of Shabbos this morning. After concluding the 22nd parak. 22nd parak. A lot of gems in the 22nd parak. We talked about the Isser of Schita. We talked about the Isser of Bishol Achabishol. Not the Isser, but the Heter of Bishol Achabishol. And then the Mishnayos end with a discussion of different types of therapeutic activities on Shabbos, including, which we're going to discuss a little bit further today, chiropractor, but whether or not you can do any type of manipulation in chiropractic therapy on Shabbos. Okay, we are on the very top of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and this topic of filibuster aluntus. We're talking about coming back from the bath. House on Shabbos. Not the bathhouse, but the hot springs. As I mentioned yesterday, there was a time historically when we were allowed to go to Tveria and go to the hot springs in Tveria. Now, our Mishnah says you're not going to take a bath there. You're not allowed to bathe there, but you'll take a shower in the hot springs of Tveria. You could take the water and flip it over your head and take a shower in the hot springs of Tveria. The Gemara yesterday noted that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you're allowed to shower in the hot springs of Tveria. Okay, those days are gone. We can't do that anymore. But in the meantime, however, we're discussing now drying off. Toweling off after you take the shower. What's the problem? The problem is you may squeeze a towel. So what does our Mishnah say? That one person who's using 10 towels and he's coming back with the 10 towels, that's a problem. Why? Because he may come squeeze the towels. So he can't walk back with 10 towels. However, the Mishnah went on further to say that if you have one person, if you have 10 people all sharing the same towel, which poor towel, that towel must be dripping, then they can walk back with the towel. What's the difference? The Gemara wants to know exactly that. That's where we start off this morning. There's a chiddush in both parts of the Mishnah. In the Reisha, there are 10 towels for that one person. That 10th towel, can you imagine how much water is in that 10th towel? Not a lot. Right, practically dry. And meanwhile, the chiddush of that first part of the Mishnah is, because he's one person, because no one's reminding him, he can't walk back with the towels for fear that he's going to squeeze the towels. Sefer, Rabbutza Kamash Malan Afil Hanei Dinafisha Buhumaya, Kevin Derabim Ninu Mitzkareya Hadadei. And the second part of the Mishnah, another chiddush. One towel amongst 10 people, the towel must be dripping already. So there's a likelihood is that you're going to want to squeeze it, but because there are 10 people there, each one's going to remind one another. When you're finished with showering, bathing on Shabbos, so what do? So you place it by the windowsill, but don't hand it to the bath attendant. What's wrong with handing it to the bath attendant? Because, look, let's take a look at his profession. He's a bath attendant. There's a chance, a pretty good chance he's going to squeeze it. In fact, not only is there a chance, the Gemara says they're chashudin. We have reason to suspect they're going to do that. So you hand them a towel, he's going to ring it on Shabbos, so that's going to be a problem. Maybe the issue over here is lifnei iver, that basically you're going to be aiding and abetting. Okay, I understood. When you drop the towel by the window, he can get it himself, but don't hand him the towel. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Mistapik, Balantus, Achos, Mevia, Biadol, Asoch, Beso. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you can dry off with a towel and bring it to your home, contrary to what we learned in the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said that you can't, but Rabbi Shimon says you can. So now that we know this is all subject to a debate, what's the halacha? Amalei, ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbi Hashmuel, ha Rabbi Yochanan. So the answer is on four areas of halacha, we're going to follow like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi, like Shmuel, and like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Shimon had damar answer. Rabbi Shimon, that what we just said, which is that you're allowed to go back with the towel, and we're not afraid. The chachamim, we're not concerned that you're going to squeeze the towel. Rabbi Ditanya, Rabbi Kishayinu lemedim Torah etzel Rabbi Shimon betekoa. Rabbi says that he learned by Rabbi Shimon in the town of Tekoa. I don't know if the modern day of Tekoa is the same mentioned over here. Unlikely, because the modern day Tekoa is down in Chevron, in the Chevron area. This Tekoa is probably. I'm guessing, but probably up north. Either way, Rebbe would learn by Rebbe Shimon. Hainu Malin Shemon Valontus Michasa Lagag, Megag Lakarfa, Fashi Ayinu Magina Etzel Mayan, Shayinu Roch Simbo. And in order to get the towel over to the spring, so we would take it from the chatzar to the gog, from the gog to the karfaf. In other words, these are all enclosed areas. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion, we're going to see this in Erevin, that you can transfer from these outdoor enclosures from one to another, and even though there is a prohibition from transferring from the house to the chatzar without an Eruv, but you're allowed to transfer from a house to a contiguous rooftop. From a rooftop to a contiguous karfaf. Karfaf is just simply another outdoor enclosure. Meaning, from Rabbi Shimon's perspective, you're allowed to make such a transfer even without an Eruv. And he says, and that's in fact the halacha. Shmuel da Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Shmuel mistapik adam aluntus mevia b'yad lezoch beiso. And Shmuel's ruling is that you can dry off with the towel and even bring the towel into your house. And Rabbi Yochanan da Amar, Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Rabbi Yochanan halacha mistapik adam aluntus mevia b'yado lezoch beiso. And Rabbi Yochanan also agrees with this halacha, that you're allowed to dry off with a towel and bring it into your house. The problem is very simple. We see this. This has got to be one of the most quoted lines of the Gemara. We know that Rav Yochanan says that halacha is like a stam mishnah. And our mishnah says that you can't. So we, as we've just learned, there are other brisos that say that you can. But meanwhile, Stam Mishnah, and we know that Rav Yochanan subscribes to Stam Mishnah as being the halacha. So what is he going to do with our Mishnah? When he learns our Mishnah, he attributes our Mishnah to Ben Chachinai. It's not a Stam Mishnah from the perspective of Rav Yochanan, but rather it's attributed to Ben Chachinai, which means that the halacha does not necessarily follow like our Mishnah, and in this case, does not follow like the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan, Ha'ul Yer Mivien, Balari Nashon Lebe Bani, the bath attendants, they're going to bring the robes to the bathhouse. Now, they can't carry it through the street because that's carrying, and that's prohibited. So what do? They wear them, but wearing them as long as they're covering their head and the majority of their body, meaning they got to wear it. Sakinasa tzarech l'kasha beis rosha ulamata. Now, sakinasa, how do I describe this? I'm not particularly sure. Rashi describes it as some sort of scarf. Rashi, Sura Gadol, Shetalalo, Bank Tefa, Verosho, Atuf Bo. Okay, it's a scarf, it's a hood, it's a little bit of both. Either way, Tzarech L'Kasha Beis Rosho, Lamata. So you got to tie it down. The fear is, we've seen this fear many times throughout the Masechta, that you wear loose fitting clothing, especially a hat, it's going to blow off, you're going to pick it up, you're going to walk. So over here, this hood scarf, so you got to tie it down to your head. It's got to be tied below the shoulders. When you bring clothing over to the Bnei Chela, you know, this is up until recently, this was done where the soldiers went through the city and it was expected that you open up your house and give hospitality to the soldiers. So we live in America. It's so... this doesn't speak to us, but, you know, throughout most of history, this was normal practice. So when you bring the clothing to the Bnei Chela, Sherevivu Behulamat Miktafayim, again, you're going to wear them because you can't carry them through the street. Make sure that they are tied to your shoulders so that it has the status of a Levush, it has the status of clothing, and you're therefore not carrying on Shabbos. Okay. Sachin Umimashmashin. Now, in our Mishnah, we talked about getting a massage on Shabbos, rubbing oil and getting a massage on Shabbos. Tan Rabban Sachin Umimashmashin Bnei Ma'ayim B'Shabbos. A stomach massage. Okay, I know that sounds strange. Could be for the movement of the bowels. I don't know, I'm guessing. Either way, you can do it. You can get one of those massages on Shabbos. And you have to make a little bit of a change, deviation from the way you do during the week. Otherwise, it's we can call it uvda dechol. It's too much of a weekday activity. So deviate. So hey chiyabed, Rabbi Chama bar Chanin amar sach v'achar kach memashmesh. First, put the oil and then get the massage. I'm not anywhere near an expert on this, but I thought that's what you normally do. But anyway, the Gemara calls that a deviation. And Rabbi Yochanan amar sach memashmesh bevasachas. And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in terms of how to deviate is to get oil and rubbed at the same time. Avalo mit amlin, but now it can't be a vigorous massage. It's got to be a mild massage, but it can't be a vigorous massage. We could call this one of two things. Either the reason why it's prohibited is because now we're in the world of refuah, meaning now it's medicinal, now it's real therapy, or it's tirchi yisera, meaning then it's obvious you're just not allowed to overexert yourself, so maybe it could fall under the category of overexertion. Okay, I don't know which one's correct, but one of those could be the possible reason why a vigorous massage is asur on Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Asur la'amod b'karki yosef shel d'yumsus mibnei shema'amelis u'mirape. Now, obviously, we're talking about basically going to the spa, meaning we're talking about getting a massage, and, right, anyone go to the Dead Sea? So, over there, so you get the mud bath, and, okay.
Everybody's got a picture.
Okay. Okay, so basically there was a spa in the time of the Gemara where it was you lie down on some sort of salt bed, right? Salt water bed. Okay, it's Karki Yosef Shel Diumsis. Okay, I don't know where it is, it's the name of a river. Anyway, the waters of the river were very salty. You would lie down and it was unbelievable therapy. It's Me'amelis U'Mirape, says the Gemara, and therefore you can't do it because, as we know, you can't engage in refuah on Shabbos. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kol Yemeshel, Diyumsis, Esrim V'Achad Yom. Now, the best days are 21 days of the year where it's really, really therapeutic. Okay? So you got to hit those correct 21 days. That Seres Min HaMinya, now, it overlaps with Shavuos. So in other words, it's right around the time of Shavuos. So we are now late spring, early summer. Now, it's Shavuos Min HaMinya. Now, Ibailu, what? Seres L'Hagisa, L'Hagisa. Now, which way do you go from Shavuos? Do you go from the before Shavuos? So in other words, it was 21 days leading up to Shavuos? Or is it 21 days after Shavuos? Tashma damash mokulu, sakaina, midibcha v'aratzarta ma'alu. Drinking from this water. Doesn't sound that pleasant. But drinking from this water, from Pesach until Atzeres is ma'alu. That's good. So the Gemara is assuming, well, if it's good to drink from the water from Pesach to Shavuos, it must be also good to lie down in the water from Pesach to Shavuos. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. No, could be that for Pesach to Shavuos, look, that's springtime. So it's still a little bit cool outside, and the water kind of warms you up. But over here, we're talking about lying down in the water. Lying down in the water, you need the steam. You need the real heat. And kevin de chamim alma tvei male. So now we got to go into the early summer. Because now in the early summer, now it's really hot. So in other words, you could argue that it's Shavuos, but only after Shavuos, that's really good to lie down in these waters. Now, so we're talking a little spa talk, so the Gemara gives us a little bit of musr about going to the spa. Amar avichal bo chamra de pugraisa umaya de dumeses kibchu aser sa shvatim yisrael. So you know why we lost the ten tribes? So you think it's because Sancheriv came down and conquered the ten tribes and sent them into exile? I mean, all that's true. But the Gemara wants to know what's the real reason behind the losing of the ten tribes. And the Gemara says, because they frequented the spa too much. Take a look at Rashi. It's a very strong Rashi. Rashi writes, Kapcho Eseres HaShvatim Shayu Balei Hana'a. So Rashi says they indulged. V'asukim bekach, and they went to the spa all the time. Not only going to the spa, but also drinking wine. Right? I don't know if I made that point clear. I'll make it clear in just a moment. V'lo hayu oskim b'torah. I'm still reading Rashi. And they weren't engaged in the study of Torah, v'yatzol atar b'sra. And then they went off the derech. Right? On a bad path. So this was the problem of the Asaras HaShvatim, the 10 tribes of the north, and that's why they were lost. And Sancheriv is just simply a puppet of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that's the real reason. The Gemara says that if you drink too much of this wine, I don't know how to describe it, right? It comes from a certain location, and it is apparently an unbelievable wine, so says Rashi. And so if you drink this wine and you go to the spa, so that is why the Aseres HaShvatim were lost. The Gemara tells an unbelievable story. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Iklallah Hasam. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went there to both, Rashi says, Purgaisa and Diumsis, meaning he drank the wine from Purgaisa, he went to the waters, the bath waters of Diumsis. And Imshech Basrayhu, and he got lost there, both in the wine and the spa. Iyakar Talmudei, and he forgot all of his learning. Asa Kamla Memra B'Sifra, And I'm sorry, Kamla Megra B'Sifra. And he gets called up for an aliyah. And you know how it works when you get called up for an aliyah. So you got to read from the Torah. Mm-hmm. All right, nowadays we're saved by the Baal Kareh. In walks in a very good one. Mm-hmm. So nowadays we're saved by the Baal Kareh. So we don't have to read from the Torah. But in the good old days, you get called up for an aliyah, so now you're expected to read from the Torah. So, Baile Mikre HaChodesh HaZelachem, and the Pasuk says he's obviously reading from Parshas Bo. Which means, by the way, where are we holding in the year? So it could be that it's so much speculation. Meaning it could be that we're reading Parshas Bo because that's the Parsha of the week. It could be that it's Yontiv. All right, whatever. And also, we're in Eretz Yisrael, so they work on a different cycle. Okay, you can only speculate. HaChodesh HaZelachem, but he's reading from Parshas Bo. And Amar HaCheresh HaYalibam. And he doesn't know what he's learning anymore. And he's looking at a Chumash. So it's unbelievable. Not only is he wrong on the punctuation, he's also wrong on the letters as well. Right? HaCheresh HaYalibam. And obviously, the Gemara, it's a play on words. Because his heart was stuffed up. He doesn't know how to speak. He can't hear. He doesn't have his cognitive ability. Hacherish hayalibam. And obviously, it's Musar on the part of the Gemara that tells us not to overindulge. So the Rechachamim asked mercy from Akash Baruch Hu, please help him remember his learning. Vahader Talmudei, and he got his learning back. Vahainu didnan, and now we're going to get it. Right now, he learned his lesson from this whole story, and it's fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. You'll see this inside Rav Nurai Omer. It said over in the name of Rav Nurai. Rav Nurai was an AKA. That wasn't his name, as the Gemara is about to say. It's really the same. It's one and the same as Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Have a gola lamakom Torah, that you should exile yourself to a makom Torah. In other words, even if you know Torah, Rashi writes, im tamu chacham ata, you know Torah. Al teishev ela b'makom tamid chachamim, chavrcha ve'al tamar tamidim heim yavo elai. Don't assume that the tamidim are going to come to you. You go to the Talmidim. The Altamar Shitavo Acharecha, Shechavrecha Yikamum Yadecha, the El Binazcha Altishan, and don't rely on your smarts. Meaning, you may be very smart, you may think to yourself that it's okay, I learned the Masechta, I'm good. Don't rely on that, but in other words, go to a Makom Torah, review your learning, it's extraordinarily important, and now we understand the rest of the story. Meaning, what happened to him over the course of his life is he didn't go to a makom Torah, and he got losses and indulgences, and he forgot all of his Torah. Tana lo Rav Nurai Shmo, lo Rav Nechem Yishmo, v'armi lo Rav Elazar ben Arach Shmo. Rav Nurai was not his name. His name was either Rav Nechem, or his name was Rav Elazar ben Arach, which, based on our Gemara, would make more sense. V'lamani kor Shmo Rav Nurai, shemanirei nechachamim ba'alacha. He elucidated, he illuminated. And that's why he got the name Rav Nurai. Nurai comes from the word light, from the word mayor. So he illuminated, and that's why his name was, he was called Rav Nurai, but truth be told, it was Rav Elazar ben Arach of our Gemara. Avalo mitgarin. You can't exfoliate on Shabbos. Now, we're not talking about with a particular cream, we're talking about like with some sort of back scratcher, or something abrasive to rub on your skin in order to remove dead skin. So the Mishnah says that you cannot exfoliate. Tana Rabbani in Gorim b'Magreus b'Shabbos. So the Brisa here says that you cannot. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer imhayu raglav lech leches betidav etzawa gara kedako. Let's say your feet is filled with dirt, with dirt, with mud, and with excrement. So you can scrape off your feet like you normally would do during the week. And there you need not worry. Now it could be that, in other words, it's so unpleasant. So it could be that there's a special hatter for your feet. It could be that when you scratch your feet, the skin doesn't come off as fast. Okay, you know, I can think of a couple of reasons why feet would be different. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda avdelei imei ma'aregrasa de kaspa. And Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda got a gift from his mother. So what did his mother make for him? A silver scraper, and Rashi says specific to Shabbos, to be used on Shabbos, so that it would be a little bit different on Shabbos than it would be during the week. And Yordin le Kordima. Another thing the Mishnah says is that you cannot go down to Kordima. What Kordima is, apparently was some sort of river, where in order to go down, The floor of it was very slippery and very slick. But why not? Why can't you go on that? My time of Mishum Pika. And the Gemara gives a one-word explanation in terms of why on Shabbos you cannot go down into this river. Rashi explains, Tishal also Nahar Machlik, that the mud of this particular river was very smooth. Uvidei Adam Nisharim B'mayim. What's going to happen is you're going to slip and fall. And your water is going to get saturated with, your clothing is going to get saturated with water. Pram says Rashi, Asi Lidei Shechita, and you're going to want to come to wring your clothing. So therefore, you cannot even wade in such water. The Gemara continues, they know sin apikti zin b'shabbos. Okay, as we discussed yesterday, the epicac, a medic, right? Basically, it was some sort of drug that induced vomiting. And you can't use it on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Abachana, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Sam. Now, the Gemara is a little bit distasteful, but the only prohibition on Shabbos is to take a medicine that would induce vomiting, because that's a form of refuah, and that you're not allowed to do. Aval b'yad mutter, but if you want to induce vomiting with your fingers, so that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Tanya Reb Nechemya Omer Af B'chol Aser Mimnei Hefsed Ochlin. Reb Nechemya says, I think outside of the world of Shabbos and refuah, I think there's another issue as well. Now, I understand, and nowadays there are psychological issues, but apparently Bizman Gemara, they didn't have to grapple with those psychological issues, but again, I'm just guessing. The point, however, that Reb Nechemya makes is that during the week, it's going to be prohibited. You're wasting food. It's Bal Tashkis. Meaning, what are you doing? You ate food, now you're throwing it up. And again, it's gross, it's disgusting, it's not a Bal Midos, but just in terms of halacha, what's the halachic issue? You're wasting food. It's Bal Tashkis. You're not allowed to waste food. So another, even during the week, you should not induce vomiting. Ain matzvin as a katan. You're not allowed to align a child. Now we're talking about basically chiropractic work. Okay, I'm not a chiropractor. I don't even play one. So I'm not going to even pretend. But basically, the Gemara is going to talk about different types of manipulation. Some of them are good, and some of them are not good. And I'll leave it to the people who know better to understand these differences. Amar Rabba Barba Chana Amar Rav Yochanan Lefufe Yenuka B'Shabbos Shapir Dami. So to swaddle a child, I don't really mean swaddle, meaning it is some sort of therapy. Rashi says, Kamosha Osan Lekatan Sheyis Yashvu Evarav V'lo Yitakeim. Strain it, right, straining out the child so that he doesn't bend in the wrong direction. So Rav Yochanan says it's good, meaning you could do that. The Gemara asks the obvious question. V'hanan t'nanin ma'atzvin. Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. Hasan b'chomer shedra de mechze kebone. The Gemara says that what our Mishnah is talking about is manipulating the spine. That's basically a chiropractor. That you're not allowed to do because it's mechze kebone. It looks like you're building. It's interesting. I don't know why the Gemara had to say that. Mechze kebone. Meaning, couldn't just simply say refuah? Maybe it's one and the same thing. I'm not sure. I don't understand why the Gemara says mechze kebone, but the Gemara says it, so we have to understand it. In the meantime, however, what we're doing for the child, the lefufe yenuka, which we just mentioned, which Rav Yochanan permitted, is some other form of manipulation, but not necessarily with the spine. Ein machzir neseshever, and oh, by the way, Rashi points out, the last Rashi on the Amud, important, Rashi says that we're not talking about day of birth. Day of birth, says Rashi, b'yom leida, look at the last Rashi on the page, armina la'el, we said above, kola amur beperek tochecha diacheskel, osin l'chaya b'shabbos. Right? In other words, that's treatment of a newborn baby. That obviously is for the betterment of the baby. That you're absolutely allowed to do. We're talking about sometime after newborn status. Ein machzir neseshever, and now we're talking about replacing a dislocated shoulder joint or what have you. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Now again, even in our Mishnah's version of this discussion, when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, I have to assume, although the Mishnah doesn't say this, nor does the Gemara, but I would have to assume that it's not talking about where it's life-threatening. If it's life-threatening, there's really no discussion to be had. It's simply something that could wait till after Shabbos to replace the dislocated joint. In the meantime, however, Amar Rabbi Chana, Bagdasa, Amar Shmuel, the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel, Halach Machzir Neseshever, that he's of the opinion that you're allowed to. You're allowed to replace a dislocated joint on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara doesn't ask this question, so let's us ask the question. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Shmuel's an Amara. He can't argue with the Mishnah. So how's that working? Take a look at the top Rashi. Rashi is sensitive to this issue. And Rashi writes, Svir le l'shmuel machzir and tanan. He had a different gears of our Mishnah. Meaning when he learned the Mishnah, when he taught the Mishnah, he actually takes out the word ein. The word ein doesn't belong. Which obviously makes all the difference in the world. Now the Mishnah reads, you can return a dislocated joint on Shabbos. Rabbi Baruch Hanna ikla l'pumpet Yisrael ala pirkei. Rabbi Baruch Hanna went and paid a visit to the town of Pumpadisa, but he didn't go to Shir. Sorry. Lo ala pirkei de Rav Yehuda. So he didn't go to Rav Yehuda Shir. Okay? As I mentioned many times in the daf, there's a story behind the story. We're only given only a certain amount of information. For whatever reason, he didn't go to Shir. Shadre la ada dalye amale zil garbe. And so now Rav Yehuda hears that Rabbi Baruch Hanna is in town, didn't attend Shir, he's angry. He tells the executive director of the yeshiva, okay, you, go to Rabbi Baruch Hanna, and you force him to go to Shir, and an interesting technique, Rashi kach bigdo ad shiavo. Take his clothing until he actually comes to Shir. Okay? They weren't gentle back then. In other words, you know, they knew how to communicate with one another. We've lost the art. We're way too genteel. I'm the first at fault for this. So the Shadra la Abadalya Amalei Zil Garbe Azil Garbe. And so okay, good. So he grabs his coat and he says, "Look, I was told you need to come to Shir." And Rabbi Baruch Hanna comes to Shir, and what does he hear? He hears the Mishnah on Shabbos in the 22nd parak of Shabbos of Ein Machzir Nesah Shever. Perfect timing. Amar Le Hachi Amar Rabbi Chana Bagdasa Amar Shmuel Halacha Machzir Nesah Shever. And he says, don't teach the Mishnah that way. That's not my tradition of the Mishnah. My tradition of the Mishnah is take out the word ein, machzir nesa shever. Amalei, hachana didan, vashmol didan, velo shmi'alei. Hachana, he's one of us. Shmuel, he's one of us. And meanwhile, I never heard that halacha, velav bedina garbatech. I was right to force you to come to Shir. Meaning, had you not come to Shir, you wouldn't have corrected me. I wouldn't have known the truth. And good. I did a good job dragging you to Shir. Okay? And again, another Musar point of this Gemara is that they weren't interested in being right, they were interested in the truth. So over here, he enjoyed being corrected. It was helpful to him because now he knows what the correct Mishnah is. Misha Nifrika Yado. Okay, so then the Mishnah talks about Pirkei Yad. Now, again, in other words, one's dislocation, one's dislocation, and I don't know the difference.
No, one was broken, I think. The first one was...
I'll accept that.
When it's broken, here, this is just
this. Okay, I mean, Rashi in the Mishnah, right, to support what you're saying, Rashi in the Mishnah says, Etzem Shenishbar. The bone was broken. So we're saying, the first case of the Mishnah, we're talking about setting a broken bone. Here we're talking about just simply returning a dislocated joint. Okay. I accept that. Mishanifrika Yado Rav Avya Hava Yosef coming to Rav Yosef. So Rav Avya was in front of Rav Yosef, Shanyele Yade. And so he, whatever, however you want to say, he sprang a finger, he dislocated a joint, okay, whatever, popped out. So now he wants to pop it back in on Shabbos. Amalei Hachimai, can I do this? Aser. Vahachimai, well, can I do this? Amalei Aser. Okay, so right, asked in many different ways. You know, sometimes the rabbi doesn't give the answer you want, so you'll just simply rephrase the question. So, that's basically what he did. Adahachi itpach yadeh. Now, while asking all those questions, on its own, it reset. Amrle maiti bayelach. Hatana mishinifrika yado raglo loichafem betzonin. Avarachitz kedarko v'nisrape nisrape. Now, he says to him, like, I don't even understand what your line of questioning is. It's a straightforward Mishnah in Shabbos. One of the last Mishnayos of the 22nd parak of Shabbos. We all know the Mishnayos. I mean, we don't, but... Right, correct. But in other words, we all know the Mishnayos. Meaning, what are you asking me? It's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Like, why would you think it's okay? Well, we did a serious amount of editing in the first part of the Mishnah. We changed the word in machzir nesashever to machzir nesashever. So it's fair for me to suggest that if we're editing the first part of the Mishnah, Maybe there's a little bit of editing in the second part of the Mishnah as well. Amar lei kulu kulu b'chara michta machtinu. Don't string together the Mishnah with one loop of the stitching. Hechadi itmar itmar hechadalo itmar lo itmar. No, where the Mishnah is edited, the Mishnah is edited. Where the Mishnah is unedited, that Mishnah is unedited. So just because we change the word ein machzir into machzirin, when you get to the next part of the Mishnah, keep it as it is. No one changed it. No one edited it. So therefore, you cannot reset a dislocated joint on Shabbos. Hadron la chavis, that is the end of the 22nd parak of Shabbos. Okay? 22 down, two more to go. Okay? We start now the 23rd parak of Shabbos. Okay, now you're not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos. Is that clear? And you're not allowed to talk on business on Shabbos. Now, I understand the people behind you in Shul are probably talking business on Shabbos.
Only behind
you,
not you.
Correct. You like that, right? No, not you. Of course not. So you understand. You're not allowed to talk business on Shabbos. And at the Kiddush, also, the people next to you are speaking business on Shabbos. So if you know they're going to listen, so you should give them tochacha. But if you know they're not going to listen, okay, so I'm not sure if tochacha would be the right move there. But anyway, you're not allowed to speak about business, and of course, needless to say, you're not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos. So, why not? Meaning, is it one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos? No. It's not one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. It is a gzera d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic decree. But the rabbis were concerned that if you engage in business, you're going to write down. Because what are you going to do? You're going to create for yourself accounts payable, accounts receivable, and you got to write. You're not going to be able to conduct business without writing things down. So the rabbis forbade mekach u'memkar, any type of business transaction on Shabbos, for fear that you're going to write it down. Good. That's the starting point of the whole discussion. That's your introduction for the 23rd parak. And now, with like any good rule, there are going to be exceptions to the rule. And one of the exceptions to the rule on Shabbos, in terms of Mekach u'Memkar, is going to be, look, right now you're preparing lunch, and we need sugar. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to your neighbor, and can I borrow sugar? Okay?
You're going to write it down?
Now, when you say I'm going to borrow sugar, now, sometimes, by the way, I'm sitting next to somebody, I say, can I borrow a french fry? Okay, you understand, by the way, I'm not paying you back, meaning I'm simply taking your french fry. The word borrowing is, you know, just a, you know, code for I'm taking it. but in other words, neighbors living one next to one another, meaning, I understand, and the neighborly thing to do is just simply take the sugar, it's fine, don't worry about it. But, in other words, what's right is right, and if you're borrowing sugar, it means you're going to return it. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean you're returning this sugar. It means you're paying the person back. Can you do that on Shabbos? And the answer is yes, you can. You absolutely can. You can borrow from somebody with the expectation that he's going to pay you back. Now, I know we don't call that business, but for all intents and purposes, that's a transaction. You have just involved yourself in a transaction on Shabbos, where you took something from somebody, you are now obligated to pay the person back. I mean, To call it what it is, it's business. It's mekach u'memkar. It's transaction. So can you do that on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, you can. But and the reason why, obviously, is because that's going to help your own Shabbos. In other words, because without the sugar, you're not going to be able to make whatever you're making. Obviously, you're not cooking, but whatever. In other words, you're making a salad dressing, whatever the case is. So it enhances your own Shabbos, so therefore you could do it. So what the Mishnah is going to teach us is that these types of transactions Shabbos is allowed, but with a couple of stipulations. Actually, only one stipulation. Let's see the Mishnah inside. A person can go to his neighbor on Shabbos, borrow from them wine, oil, but don't say the word halveni, meaning it is a loan. Just don't say that. Don't say the word halveni. So you have to say, not can you lend me, but can I borrow? Shoel. Right? Can I borrow? But here, we understand the word borrow is to be used very loosely. But really, what it means is that it is a loan. And I will pay you back. But right now, just don't say the word halveni. A woman from her neighbor could borrow loaves of bread. Now, let's say the following. they're not the best of friends. There's a little bit of distrust between these two parties. And, look, I'll lend you, but I'm not sure I'm going to get paid back. And, of course, we can't write it down. It's Shabbos. So what do we do? So let me just take a little bit of collateral. The Mishnah says that's fine. So you drop the talis, you drop an article of clothing right there as a form of collateral. And after Shabbos, you come back, obviously, because you want your cloak back in. You'll then you'll settle the debt after Shabbos. And let's say now it's Erev Pesach, and you weren't ready. Obviously, you should have gotten your Karban Pesach before, but you weren't ready. You didn't get a lamb, and so now it's Shabbos, it's Erev Pesach. So what do you want to do? You want to buy a lamb. Problem is, Shabbos. You can't go to someone, you can't give money. So in other words, but you'll buy the lamb on credit, and you'll come back after Shabbos and you'll pay. And the Mishnah says the same thing. When you buy your lamb on Shabbos, you'll just simply drop a deposit, not a deposit, wrong word. You'll drop a collateral, a mashkon over by the seller, and then after Shabbos, and in this case, after Shabbos, after Yontif, you'll go back and you'll just simply settle your debt. So you get the whole Mishnah, and the question here is a really simple question. Oh, with the change of a word, it all becomes okay? Meaning, instead of saying the word halveini, you say the word hashileini. And now it's fine? What's the difference? Amar le hashileini lo asa lemechtav, halveini asa lemechtav. So the answer he proposes is the following. If you say the word halveini, lend me. So now we're in business mode. And so if I'm in business mode, I'm going to write it down. But if you say the word hashileini, okay, we're not in business mode right now. Even though it is a transaction, even though it incurs an obligation, but we're not in business mode, I'm not going to write it down. The Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's right. During the week, are people really that sensitive to language? Meaning during the week, sometimes you'll say hashileini, sometimes you'll say halveini. But when all said and done, we understand that an obligation is incurred, that this is a transaction. I am now indebted to you for what that which I, quote-unquote, borrowed. And so, why should it make a difference on Shabbos? Amar le, we'll skip the parentheses. B'Shabbos came into hashileini hu desharu le rabbanan, halveini lo sharu le mintgara milsa v'lo asu lemechtav. Because on Shabbos, the rabbis told us we have to be specific in the way we say it. And because we can only say hashileini, and because we cannot say halveini, so that'll trigger in our minds, oh yeah, Shabbos, we can't write this down. Meaning if I could have said whatever, halveini, hashileini, so then you're right. But because we are very specific in terms of what we can and cannot say on Shabbos, we will not write it down. And now we're going to go a little bit off topic for just about, let's say, 15, 20 lines of Gemara. But in other words, this was dialogue between Rava Bar Rav Chanan and Abaye. So the Gemara is going to give us a couple of other dialogues between these two particular Amorayim. Anything the rabbi said on Yontov, you know, on Yontov, you should make some sort of deviation. Meaning, even though on Yontov you're allowed to do a lot of mundane activities, cooking you're allowed to do on Yontov, and food prep you're allowed to do on Yontov, but if you can deviate on Yontov, so you should. Okay? When we get to Beitza, we're going to see a lot of this. In the meantime, however, Hane Neshe, right, it serves me right for not looking inside. So, Hani Neshe Demalian Chatzbayu Maya. My time alone is Shanina. But here's what I see. I see the women drawing water from the well, Anyantif, and they're doing it the same way they do during the week, with no deviation. And I'm just curious. We know the general rule on Yontif is you should try to deviate. So why are they drawing water from the well with no deviation? So Mishim Delo Afshar. But the answer over here is very simple. There's nothing to deviate. There was nothing we could change. So if they normally draw with larger jugs, and we tell them, you know what, go with the smaller jugs, Here's the problem. More trips. More walking. And we don't want to encourage that in Yontif. And Hecha Damalye. Once again, I'm just reading without looking in. So Hakam and Vishilcha. Damalye Bechatzva Zuta. Limla Bechatzva Rabba. Kamashva Bemashva. And if they're used to drawing the water with small jugs, and we tell them, you know what? Larger jugs. Well, that's going to require more exertion. Nifra Sudre. And if we tell them, I want you to spread a cloth over the barrel, cover the water, just, again, a little bit of deviation, just to show the world that it's Yontif. Asila de Schita. Well, the cloth is going to get wet, and you're going to squeeze it on Yontif, and you're not allowed to do that on Yontif. And finally, Nichse Binachtama. So put a lid over the jug. Zimnin demifsek vasal mikdrei. Well, putting a lid means we're going to tie down the lid, and sometimes the tie is going to break, and I'm going to be tempted to tie it on Yontif, and I'm not allowed to tie on Yontif as well. We're talking here about a permanent knot. So therefore, hilkach lo efsher. So conclusion is that, yeah, when you can deviate, you should, but if you can't, you can't. Amalei Rabba Baruchan la baye tanan lo maspikim v'lo matapchim v'lo miraktim v'yontif. You're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to dance on Yontif. Did you know that? It's a Mishnah.
It's a music.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, right. And the issue is, the. By the way, maspikin means to clap hand onto hand. Metapchen means pounding your chest. And meratin, you can't dance on Yontif. And the Gemara in Beitz explains, Shemi Yitake in Klishir, because it's going to lead to the fixing of musical instruments. Okay, your obvious question to me at this point in time should be Simchas Torah. Okay, fine. But it's not a new question, meaning it's a Mishnah, but it's not a new question, it's an old question. V'lo meraktin b'yomtov, v'kachazin and davdinan. So the Gemara now, some 1,800 years ago, was asking basically the same question. We're dancing on Yontif. How do we do that? V'lo min lo v'lo midi. Now, the answer is going to be interesting.
Second day of... Oh, you're going... The Rebbe. You always dance by the Rebbe.
That's not going to be the Gemara's answer. That's a great suggestion, but that's not going to be the Gemara's answer. U'tameh adam ha-rav lo leisev inishapum adelechaya adelma min gedelei chayfetz. We've heard this before. When you're in your mavui, don't sit at the edge of the mavui right by the Rishus HaRabim. Don't sit right by the lechi. You're not going to see the lechi. You're not going to know the demarcation between where the mavui ends and where the street begins. And v'asil asuiyev akachazina nami demos v'chatzve v'yasve apum demavoa v'larin alu v'lamidi. And meanwhile, people are sitting right by the edge of the mavui. I told them not to, and they do it. Ella, here's the answer. Hanach li Yisrael mutav shiu shogegin va'al yidu mezidin. Better, the Jewish people should be in a state of shogeg and not be in a state of mezid. So, don't tell them that they're don't tell them that what they're doing is wrong, because they're not going to listen to you. And right now they're violating an issur b'shogeg. And better that than they should be a mezid, meaning you're telling them that it's wrong. And they're going to do it anyway. Now, I can understand this idea of mutar shiyu shogegin when it's an issur derabanan, a milder issur of a bida araisa lo. But if we're talking about an issur daraisa, tell them. Don't let them remain in their ignorance. V'lo hi, but the Gemara says that's not true. Lo shna b'derabanan, lo shna b'daraisa. Even by an issur daraisa, if you know they're not going to listen, and telling them is only going to just turn them from a shogeg into a mezid, don't tell them. The Gemara tells us how Tosefes di Yom Kippurim daraisi, because we know that min haTorah we are supposed to add to Yom Kippur, meaning when does the fast begin? So don't look at sunset as your mark in terms of when the fast begins. Min haTorah we're supposed to add to the fast. So that means that we don't know, I can't give you a time, but 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever your time is, but add a little bit to the fast of Yom Kippur, and that's a din d'oraisa. V'kachazina lo d'ka'ach l'v'shasa ashetachshach. And meanwhile, look around, and what do you see? People eat right until sunset. V'lo amrin lo v'lo midi. And by design, we don't educate. We don't tell them, you know, you shouldn't do that. you should start your fast earlier. So therefore, we see from here that this idea of mutar shiyu shogeg in v'al yidum mezidim would be true by Yisuri d'Rabbanan, and it would also be true by Yisuri d'Oraisa. Now it happens.
Now we know. We just learned it, so we can't dance anymore.
Right. Correct. So now we. So what Phil points out is that I told you it's going to be an interesting answer, because the Gemara's answer is it's not right. Just don't tell people.
Yeah, people don't know.
Right, correct. And now that we know, so what do we do? Right. So there's the more contemporary post-him attempt, struggle, to try to give some sort of excuse slash rationalization slash heter in terms of the dancing, but, in other words,
clapping hands.
Correct. It is discussed a lot. It's not the purview of the Daf Yomi, but it's discussed a lot in terms of why it is that we do dance on Shabbos Yom Kippur. I remember once, I will just tell you one story, because it really this is a sheer in of it, all this is a sheer in of itself. The first of all, before I tell you the story, Rabbi Greger spoke recently on Shabbos, so he brought down a lot of Rishonim. He brought it down the name of the Rush. But a lot of Rishonim are of the opinion that this idea of Mutar Shiyu Shogegin is only on Isuri Torah that's not written in the Torah. But any Isur Torah that's Mefurish B'Torah, so there you have to tell. Even if they're not going to listen. Meaning, all you're doing is just quoting a Pasuk in Chumash, so there you have to tell. So he just mentioned in a Chabura, so I mention it now. A story I remember years ago. I was in yeshiva and we were in YU and we were dancing, and someone went over to Rav Schechter. I remember this so clearly. Someone went over to Rav Schechter and says, "You know, you're dancing. You know, Shabbos, you're dancing." So, in other words, when I say dancing, by the way, it was singing and going in a circle. You know, so he said, "Right." So he said, "I remember this. I remember this so clearly." He said, "This is not dancing." Yeah, right. So anyway, so good. Okay, a little bit further for today. V'chein isha mechaverta kikaros. Okay, borrowing kikaros on Yom Tov. We're just going to go 6-7 more lines in the Gemara, but complex discussion coming up over here. I'm not really doing it justice in terms of the amount of time I'm giving it. B'shabbos u'dasar v'b'chol shabidami le'ma masis in the lo kehelo. Now, we go to the fifth parak of Bamitsiya. You remember the good old days? Where we talked about the Isser of Ribis. Okay, you're not allowed to charge interest. Okay, now the simplest of charging interest is I borrow $100 and we commit I'm going to pay you back $110. That's interest. That's Asar Min HaTorah. And there's an Isser D'Rabbanan where we cannot trade commodities, because what's going to happen is that you're going to give me a bushel of wheat, I'm going to pay you back with a bushel of wheat, but by the time I pay you back with the bushel of wheat, price fluctuates. I may be paying you back something that has more value than what you gave me. And so this is what's called sa'a b'sa'a. The rabbis forbade exchange of commodities, borrowing and paying back of commodities, because of the fluctuation of price, and it may lead to the Isser of Ribis. So here in our Mishnah, we're talking about borrowing and paying back loaves of bread. Is that not an issue? So b'shabbos u'dasar v'chol shabidam le'ma masisin d'lokei elo d'tnan. V'chein ha'yahil ha'omer lo talu isha kikar l'chavata. Sorry. Lo talave isha kikar l'chavata ad shetas en adamim. That when a woman borrows loaves of bread from their friends, they have to fix the price so that when it's time for payment, we know exactly how much was borrowed, so that when you pay back the exact same amount, and you do not violate the Isser of Ribis. Yukru chitim nimsu ba'osli de Ribis. I feel the same. So the Gemara says, okay, so how is our Mishnah working? So the Gemara says, haba asra de kitz damah, haba asra de lo kitz damah. If we have a set market price on the kikaros, meaning, let's say it's a government-controlled economy, or at least not government control, but certain foods have a set price. Right? Here in America, we don't have that. Meaning, in Israel, right. Certain countries, they have it. So if the price of a kikar is a fixed price, so then even Hillel would say that's fine. Because we now know, when I borrow a loaf of bread, I have a set fixed price in my head. I know exactly how much I pay you back. And obviously, I won't be violating the Isser Ribis. Hillel was talking about in a community where there is no fixed price. Therefore, it is subject to price fluctuation, and that's why there's a concern of violating the Isser of Ribbis. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. Continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zeva, Hakohen Ben Sharon Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigail.